Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast today. And I hope you're having a wonderful Friday afternoon, staying safe out there if you have to travel out and about. And so thankful that had safety traveling over to the radio today. And we're going to be joined in studio today with Pastor Al. He got here a little early for his, and I thought, well, let's just do a show together. And so he's going to be with us today, Pastor Al Davis. And we'll introduce you. Most of you know who he is in just a moment. But do want to tell you a little bit about our church. We're the North Coast Baptist Church. We've been in the city of Lakewood now. This is 19 and a half years, so we'll be celebrating 20 years a little bit later this year. And we would absolutely love for you to come on out and visit with us at our church services. We are located at 2051 Quail Street. Again, 2051 Quail Street. Again, that's in Lakewood. It's about a quarter mile west of 117th and Madison, which is a pretty major intersection there, and just one block south off of Madison. To my knowledge, we're the only church that's on a side street like that. Well, I shouldn't say that. We have another church on us. Two churches. There's a Russian Orthodox and ours on Quail Street, but all the other churches are right on main strips there. But we'd love for you to come on out. We have church services at Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, also Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesdays we do a Bible study and have a kids program as well in the back in our fellowship hall, and that's at 7 p.m., and so I hope that you can come on out and join with us. We preach, we're a King James Bible church, unashamedly. We believe and hold to, and I would say know that that is the Word of God, and we teach it, we preach it, and we believe we need more of that in our communities and certainly in our country today. We were talking a little bit before the broadcast about the year 1881, and that's really when all these different Bible versions really kind of kicked off. Doing that. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. But I do want to welcome Pastor Al Davis to the broadcast today. Thank you, Pastor Al, for joining me.
Well, thank you, Pastor Lutz, for letting me in out of the cold.
I thought you were shivering pretty
make
good.
Me sit so. Out there looking through the window at yeah, you, I know. Shivering in the cold. The
did,
snow
did
blowing,
my good deed for the year.
Blizzard out there.
No,
getting chased by polar bears.
Did you see a Michigan today? There was an upper part of Michigan had a mama and two polar bears walking down the middle of the street.
In Michigan.
In Michigan, yeah.
Well, you know, that only goes to prove that global warming is happening and the polar bears are dying out.
Yeah.
Even though there are far more polar bears living today than there were 50 years ago, that just proves that the polar bears are dying out, obviously. Or at least they're being forced out of their habitat into Michigan.
Oh, absolutely.
Something like that. But
that's funny.
I don't know why
global warming is killing us. Isn't it? I mean, this is crazy.
Well, maybe I just have to mention this. It made me think about it. I had somebody in my Sunday night program ask me where animals go to die. Because, like, you know, elephants supposedly have sometimes elephants will go to a certain place and die.
Okay.
And so they were asking about that. And I said, well, at the end, I said, well, I know where deer go to die. It's called the highway.
That's because they don't use those crossings that are set up for them.
Right. So I guess I know where polar bears are going to die. It's called Michigan.
It's Michigan, yeah. You know, we're at the end because Michigan won the football thing this year for the college. So, you know, it's we're very near the end here. So I was getting really nervous because the Browns made the playoffs, and I thought if they went all the way, we're really close to that.
Sign of the end times.
That's right, sign of the end times. But so much going on in the world. It's funny, we talk about the global warming. There's really that meeting in Davos, is going on right now. Which a lot of it has to do, you know, they kind of prioritize how they want to program us and all the great thinkers and decision makers that are there to, you know, tell us how we need to live and what we need to do. I was sharing with you before we went on, I saw this letter, I shared it with our church on Wednesday, There's a, I think you're familiar with Arch, he's a retired priest, but Carlos Vigano, and he really over the last few years has come out very strong against against the Catholic Church, for which he was a part of all these years, and still is a part of. So let's be clear, we're not agreeing with the theological positions that Mr. Vigano has, because we would vehemently disagree with them because they're unscriptural. But certainly, he has a conservative worldview, no doubt about that. And he's able to see things. To my knowledge, he's calling for the arrest of the Pope right now, and which is pretty remarkable. So I tend to like guys who aren't afraid. I think it's very courageous for people to call out their own people. You know, it's easy to point at somebody we disagree with and, oh, look at these guys. But I, even a lot of things I do, I look at our own guys and say, hey, what are we doing? Let's call out, let's clean up ourselves first before, you know, the independent Baptists. Let's make sure we're doing things right before we worry about all these other groups. And so I appreciate that about him. But here's what he said. He said in Davos, the masters and servants of the globalist elite gather characters who openly declare that they want to reduce the world's population through wars, famines, and organized pestilence. Characters who use the complicity of our rulers, international institutions, and especially high finance and media, which are totally in their hands. How would our Lord have spoken to the Sanhedrin of criminal subversives at the World Economic Forum? What would all the popes from, we would disagree with this, St. Peter to Pius the the 12th, have said to the participants of Davos Forum? Not with I don't know how to pronounce the Pope's, Bergoglio, that's it, Bergoglio said, surely. And this proves once again that the Argentine Jesuit is a servant of the globalist elite. Whether he does it out of self-interest or due to blackmail matters little. Bergoglio explicitly supports the globalist coup and actively cooperates in the establishment of the New World Order. What more is needed to understand that the words of Leo the 12th have come true, that the prophecy of Our Lady of La Salette is being fulfilled before our eyes? Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I've always understood, Pastor Al, historically, they didn't want to identify themselves as the Antichrist, but there's a lot of references in their own catechisms about the Rome being the city on seven hills,
right.
The seat of the Antichrist. And here you got a retired priest that's actually repeating the things that are taught from the late 1800s.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you bring this thing up, the 1800s, a lot of things that started during that time frame. You know, we see Westcott and Hort and the attack on the Bible, of course. And then we also have Darwinism.
Were heavily influenced on, because diaries, he said, I think it was Hort that said, he's never read a more beautiful book than Origin of Species.
Yeah, and even though Darwin predated them, the publication of Origin of the Species and then the subsequent works that came out really did lay the groundwork for people like Westcott and Hort, German higher criticism. Communism, Karl Marx, and all of them were influenced later on in the 20th century. Of course, you know, you can see Hitler and ones like that that were influenced by communism and all of these other things. They believed in the evolution, which incidentally, I just saw this last night. I was reading something, and they put up one of those little evolutionary charts of human beings going from a monkey-like creature walking on its knuckles to a upright man.
Yeah.
And if listeners haven't noticed this before, when you see them, it's not every case, but the majority of those start with the more ape-like the creature is, the darker the skin is. The more upright the creature is, the lighter the skin is.
Oh, interesting.
And you'll see them go from dark skin to white skin in that. And that's the subtle racism of Darwinism, which was embraced, of course, by Sanger with the founder of Planned Parenthood and wanted to abort the non-white babies, which they called human weeds. Yeah. Hitler, of course, used that as his justification for the Aryan race being the superior race, because the lighter the skin, the lighter the hair, the lighter the eyes, the more evolved you must be. So if you have not even just dark skin, if you got dark hair or non-blue eyes, you're less evolved than the master race. That's where that term came from, the master races. And so you see, I read an article many years ago, and they called thought bombs, that are still reverberating today. And you can see it in that statement that you read. It's affected the Catholic Church. And even recognizing what's happening in Davos. Davos. But it's all tied together, isn't it?
It's all tied together. And this, one of the other things I've noticed after that Westcott and Hort, and really, you know, Darwin came out with this stuff, and clearly the influence of Darwinian evolution, it ripples through. I think, you know, when Horton and these guys, again, tools of the devil, no doubt about it, because they were messing with the Word of God, but looked at the Bible and said, we need to evolve, the Bible needs to evolve. Mm-hmm. And so right after that, 2 months after that, I did a little research years ago on this. 2 years after that, there was a gentleman, Ben Yehuda, or something, I forget what his exact name was, but it is recorded that 2 months after Westcott and Hort got their stamped copyright, I don't know if it was the Library of Congress, wherever it was.
Bray England.
Wherever it was, Britain. Or maybe that was it. Right, 2 months after that, God resurrected the Jewish language back in everyday conversation.
Interesting, yes.
Well, it is, because then after that, what you watch is it's the centralization of America. Like, it baffles me sometimes, and it's kind of the environment we're in. We're so focused on the federal elections because of how they're being allowed to affect us. Mm-hmm. I sit back and I say, where are these governors? Where are the governors that are protecting the states? We're supposed to be a union of states.
Right.
But all the focus is on the presidency. All the focus is on national platforms and these things. When it really should be at the smallest level, mm-hmm. and the least put on the national level.
Right.
But because, and we have nobody to blame other than the American people, and really turning their back on God's words, that's led us to this point. Mm-hmm. And so you see this culmination of the centralized government of America. Now, I think there's some decent things happening right now that I heard this morning, and I was reading this a couple of days ago. There's a court case being brought before the Supreme Court, which is going to help to, if it is overturned, Chevron is the basis of it, will help to take the power away from the administrative state and put it back to Congress, which could be very helpful. But again, these are small Band-Aids.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you think about it, we're putting a Band-Aid here, we're putting a Band-Aid here. But that's not the real problem, is it?
No, you're talking about how we've changed. You know, I think part of it goes back to, I forget the name of the amendment, but we went from having the states appoint the senators.
17th Amendment.
17th Amendment. Yeah. And now it's direct election, which means the Senate is not any different than the House really anymore.
Right.
Just a little different rules. But people wonder why that's so important. Isn't it better that the people have the voice in electing them? But people forget that when we were set up, the Federal Union was a construct of the states, not the other way around.
That's right, yeah.
And so when the Federal Union was set up, that formed the United States government, United States of America, the people were given their voice, which was the people's house, meaning the House of Representatives, and we still have that. But the states were also given a voice, and that was the Senate. That's why we had the Senate. It wasn't a second, smaller house. It was the voice of the state governments. And you say, well, what's the importance of that?
That's huge.
It's a huge thing, because the state legislatures would select and appoint the senators. And you say, how does that work? Well, you vote for your state legislatures, and you tell them who you want or don't want. And that's where your influence comes. But the importance of it is that a state like Ohio, for instance, when it comes to making a decision that who's going to be the Secretary of State, or let's actually go to Texas. Mm. Texas would have an influence on who's going to be, say, the Director of Homeland Security, because I believe they have to be nominated by the President and confirmed by the Senate. And so in the process of doing that, the state of Texas would instruct their senators, listen, if the guy is not going to secure our border, do not vote to approve him.
Right.
And Arizona could do likewise, and New Mexico, and California. And they could vote against the confirmation of, and that forces the president. That's checks and balances.
Right.
That makes the federal government have to listen to the states. And right now, we've got it turned around to where they just hold a campaign, and it's like a beauty contest. Yeah. Whoever has the most money and the most resources basically seems to win, and they're kind of out of touch with the needs of the state governments.
Yeah.
And so we've lost that influence. We've lost that check and balance. But it's more than that. It's a spiritual thing, because our churches have given up trying to influence the government.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And they've disengaged. And that's the Bible says it's better to put your trust in God than in princes, talking about government officials. Let's face it, we've been very naive over the years, many of us, and, in general statement, is the people we have put in place, we've just taken them at their word. But the apparatus is in place that it's very hard to hold them accountable other than going to vote. But most people are so disengaged. Most churches won't even deal with political things.
Mm-hmm.
They want to – I was thinking about this morning, because they want to middle of the road. They want to be just right in the middle.
Right.
And I'm sorry, that's not truth. That's a compromise. I find it very hard – I'll talk to anybody about anything, but nobody's ever going to say something that's going to change my mind on abortion, because the scriptures have already solidified it.
Right.
So if I could sit down to the leftist of the left and say, well, we just got to get along. No, you need to get right, because you're wrong on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of, I know there's a balance, we got to win.
Right.
But at some point you're winning at the expense of conscience. And at some point you got to say, no, the conscience is more important than winning. Because at least I know when I stand before God, as we all will do one day, at least I know that I've stood for the right thing. And I think I told you, I was at a meeting a couple months ago talking to one of the guys from the state committee. He's like, there's, again, Republican state committee, central committee, and says, we should have never left the 15-week ban on abortion. He goes, it's all about winning. We got to win. And I looked at him. I said, well, some of us have a conscience, and we're not good with 15 week. I wasn't even good with 6 week, but you take what you can get, but you have the opportunity to stand and say, no, this is the right thing.
Right.
And how many churches will do that today? Because they say, we don't judge. Well, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. What you're saying is you're ignorant of the truth. And so you're allowing that to affect the way you're trying to minister to people.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're really doing is you're compromising on the truth for whatever purpose you are. I mean, I don't know why they would do it. And sometimes I was thinking, some people just want to preach to more people. I mean, have you ever met a preacher who didn't want to preach to more people? But are you willing to sell out your values? You sell out your standards, sell out the things that you know are the truth to fill the room up? I mean, that's compromise, and we've got a whole book filled that's what Israel did. Oh, we can get along with these guys. The Lord said, drive them out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't drive them out. They became thorns in the flesh,
right.
And they're the ones who suffered for it.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're seeing that in our churches, a variety of things that have influenced our churches. You read that statement from the Cardinal?
Vigano?
And talking about, and again, we certainly have our profound theological differences with the Roman Catholic Church, but even he was recognizing that they've allowed something to change them. Well, we can point to the Catholics and say, well, this is what's wrong, this is what they did. But we've allowed the same things to happen to us.
That's right.
And are allowing those things to happen. Some of that goes back, you know, and just kind of jumping off from what you read earlier on the guy there. We look at this current Pope, whom he said, wouldn't he say, should be arrested?
He didn't say it in here, but he's calling for the arrest.
Elsewhere he said that.
Yeah.
When you look at it, the current Pope, he was involved in promoting liberation theology in Central America in the 1980s when I was in the Air Force. We only got a few minutes left. Maybe when we get into the next half hour, I can bring this up and give you a little history on the current Pope. But liberation theology was, some people think that it came from this source or that source, but liberation theology came out of the KGB during the Cold War. It really did. It was birthed in Lubyanka, which was the headquarters of the KGB, and they put it out as a way to infiltrate evangelical churches and versions of it to infiltrate the Catholic Church. As an aside, they infiltrated Islam the same way.
Yeah.
Yasser Arafat, remember him?
Yeah.
Leader of what? The Palestine Liberation Army, PLA, or Palestine Liberation Organization, that it became PLA, as well. Of course, he was Egyptian. There's no such group as Palestinians, except for the Philistines of the ancient Bible days.
Right.
They use this to influence and infiltrate religious groups. And Arafat, of course, had close connections with the old KGB, the old Soviet Union, Cold War days. And even though the KGB is gone, it's turned to the FSB today and different things. And Russia's still there. Putin was an old KGB, officer. But those influences are still in our churches today, whether they be Baptist churches, Catholic churches, Muslim mosques, and things of that nature. The devil has his fingers in, and he's trying to manipulate, and he's trying to control and bend these things to his purposes.
Yeah, and again, the pattern. Maybe we could pick this up here in a little bit when we come back. But going back to the garden, you have a confrontation of truth. You have a compromised position of trying to gain the. Gain the allegiance through this subversive tactic of really propaganda, right? And saying, yea, hath God said. God really hadn't said that. And so she falls, and we know the story, and history records for us. We're a part of it. And history records where this really, really is. But when you think about the influence, I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit about the Pope, because he really is a you look at the things, the decisions he's coming out with. Of course, he came out with the blessing of the same-sex unions or whatever here of late. And we've talked before prophetically, when you look at Revelation 17, 18, talking about Babylon, the great whore of Babylon, the influence of Babylon, the spirit that is behind that, to me, it reveals for us the Catholic Church and the influence of that, and that female deity worship. And it's amazing to me, all over. Lakewood just got an article put up about, has a Lakewood woman judge, woman mayor, and a woman city council. There was another one they just put up. I think it's out in Seattle. The entire city council, mayor, judge, all women. And so you're seeing this rise of the woman, right? And I see this in our churches.
Yes.
Look at all the women conferences. Look at all the women. Well, come here, this speaker. We got three lined up. And it's just like...
And the women preachers.
And women preachers. Oh, we'll talk about Paula Moore. That's a good one. She came up with one. I'll save it for the next half hour. She revealed herself as a false teacher, as we already didn't know that, but we do. But, Pastor Al, thanks for being with us. I'm going to stay with you on your broadcast, and I'm kind of enjoying this. Just kind of sit back and talk about some things.
I can't bear to throw you out in the cold, so.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for reciprocating that. But I want to thank you. All the information is coming up here at the end for the church. We do really mean sincerely for you to come on out, visit with us. If you have any questions, just, you can check us out on our website. Or give us a call at 521-3800. But stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short little break.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.